You know, this year, the pastors have been talking about a theme for 2020. I keep wanting to say 2010, but it's 2020. And the theme we are going to kind of focus on is what's your next step? What step are you going to take in your life? I mean, have you ever thought about where your life is going? Are you just trying to get through the day or through the month or through the year? If you don't know where you're going, you will go nowhere. As the saying goes, if you aim for nothing, you hit it every time. And so we need to know where we are going. And so today, I want to talk about being bold for 2020. If we're going to take steps, we're going to make changes in our lives, we need to be bold. Bold enough to make changes in your life. Bold enough in your life so that you can be richer in your faith, richer in good deeds. You know, when I think of the concept of being bold and boldness, I think of this passage in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 4, verse 29. If you're familiar with the story, the apostle Peter and John were called in front of the Sadducees, the religious leaders, and they were told to stop preaching about Jesus, stop telling people about Jesus, or suffer the consequences. And this was their response in verse 29. They prayed, "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. That's what we need to be. We need to be bold. We need to speak the word of God boldly. We need to let the word of God change our lives. They didn't become timid. They didn't become shy. They asked God to enable them to speak His word with boldness, and God answered their prayers. You know, the place where they were shook with the power of God. They went out and spoke boldly, and people were saved, and they changed the world. Do you want to change the world? Do you want to maybe change your life? Do you want to change your family for the better? Will you ask God for boldness to do so in 2020? But first, let's look at our thought in our sermon outline. What opportunity or obstacles are you facing? See, we want to change. We want to make life better, but we're faced with obstacles, or maybe it's an opportunity. What problems are you dealing with today? Are you struggling with a hurt, a habit, or a hang-up? I like this phrase, a hurt, habit, or hang-up, because they describe the problems that we face. These hurts, these habits, these hang-ups, they cause us pain and suffering. We can't get rid of them. They seem to stay in our lives, or like a curse in our lives. Many people think that God has cursed them, or they've been cursed somehow in life. That's why they are not happy. Hurts are emotional problems and emotional pain that you feel. Maybe you went through you broke up with a loved one. You know, someone you cared about. You had a broken relationship. Or maybe someone you love died or is going through health problems, and your broken heart has not healed. Maybe someone said something that embarrassed you or hurt you and hurt you deeply, and you haven't gotten past it. Every time you think about their words, that pain returns, and it really causes you pain. You can't move on in life. Do you have a hurt that you're struggling with? Maybe it's a habit. Habits are physical problems like addictions. Maybe you're addicted to drugs or alcohol or pornography. Maybe you spend too much money and you're in debt over your ears and you can't stop spending. You have too much debt. What dominates and controls your life? What addiction or way of thinking do you want to shake yourself from so that you can grow as a Christian? Maybe you have a hang-up. Hang-ups are mental problems. Maybe you're obsessive, compulsive about things. Maybe you want to control everyone. Maybe you can't make a decision because you worry about everything. You can't commit to anything. Maybe you live with depression. Or maybe you hold a grudge. You can't forgive. You know, you need to be bold and confront your hurts and your habits and your hang-ups with the power of God, and you can overcome them. That is a promise I make to you. You can be bold in God's faith and God's Spirit and overcome anything. And that's what we're going to talk about today. What obstacle are you facing? On the other hand, maybe your life is good. And if your life is good, what opportunity does God wants you to seize? What's your next step growing as a Christian? What challenge has God laid before you that you need to embrace? Every time someone comes up to me and calls me or tells me and says, you know, I think our church should start this ministry. You know, I heard about it, I read about it, I think we should start this ministry. And I usually look at them and I say, well, I guess God wants you to start it. You know, God put the call in you, God touched your life, you're passionate about it, you should start that ministry. But sometimes they're shy and they're timid. They don't want to do it. So I ask you, what challenge has God laid on your heart? Maybe you want to be able to share the gospel with people. You want to be able to share your testimony with people. You have to be bold. Maybe you wish you could understand the Bible a little bit more so you could teach it to other people. Do you wish that you could help someone who is truly hurting, that you can really bring them peace? You can if you rely on God and you choose to be bold. You have to take that next step. Philippians 4:13, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. If we want to be bold, we want to rely on God, we can do anything. We can change our lives. We can change the lives of others. With God's help, I can make a difference in my life and the life of others. That's the call to boldness. And so we go to our next thought. What changes do you want to make in 2020? You think of that obstacle you want to overcome, that opportunity you want to seize, you want to take hold of. I mean, is your life just routine? You just go through life over and over. It's like that instructions on a shampoo bottle. They used to say lather, rinse, and repeat. Then lather, rinse, and repeat. You know, just repeat your life over and over. Don't you want to grow and thrive in your faith? Don't you want to dare take a chance and exercise your faith and do something great for God? So how do you shake up your faith? How do you get your life moving? Well, the first thing I think we need to do is you need to dream. You need to dream about the possibilities. You need to speculate and wonder on what you can do, what God wants you to do. What do you dream about? Lately, I dream about eating Peking duck. I think Terry mentioned it. We're talking about it. Now I just want to eat Peking duck. And if anybody wants to take me to go eat Peking duck, you give me a call. I dream about going fishing and catching a really big bass. So I'm going to go eat Peking duck. I'm going to go fishing and try to catch a big bass. But I also dream about helping people know Christ. I want to see them believe in Jesus. I want to baptize them. I dream about that all the time. I dream about some of you right now making the decision for Jesus and following Him in water baptism. It all begins with a dream. What do you dream about? Are your dreams inspired by God? Is God putting something on your heart that comes to your mind? Nothing really happens if you don't dream. People go nowhere. People that are struggling in life, they don't know what to do. They have no direction. I asked them, where would you like to be a year from now? What would you like to see your life look like 5 years from now? You tell me your dream. You tell me your dream and we can figure out how to get there if it's part of God's will and plan for your life. We need to dream about the possibilities, the challenges, the opportunities. We need to speculate and wonder. We need to start praying if God has given you a dream. Look at Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. When you are delighted and joyful in the Lord, He will give you the desires, those dreams that you have. Now look at this next slide. I saw this slide when I was doing my research. It's actually from a woman's devotion. That's okay. Dreaming big for the glory of God. We need to dream big. We don't want to dream little. We want to dream big. That itch in your heart, you got that itch that makes you think about a ministry or someone that comes to your mind, God put it there for a reason. So you need to keep a journal. You need to write down those thoughts when they come to your mind, when God talks to you in your devotion time, when you're at the gym or riding an exercise bike and you get these thoughts from God, you write them down or you put them in your phone. Then you start talking to God about it. You start praying about that dream. Maybe you share it with me or a brother or sister in Christ. You need to dream. The second thing we need to do to make changes is we need to set goals. How can I make that dream come true? It's great to have dreams and wishful thinking, but they go nowhere. I need to set goals. Goals that are measurable and definable. We don't just say, well, I want to see everybody saved. That's an okay goal, but that's not a measurable goal. On the other hand, if I say, I want so-and-so, I want to see them believe in Jesus. We write it on our prayer journal. That's a definable goal. Maybe you want to pay off your debt and become debt-free. Maybe you want to graduate with a degree, or you want to learn a skill or a trade. Maybe your goal is to offer the forgiveness to someone who grieves you and has been torturing you. Maybe your goal is simply to stop cussing or to stop swearing or whatever it is. You set goals. We need goals, godly goals. Godly goals that bring us closer to God. When our goals align with God's will, that's when miracles happen. All right, let me say that again. When our goals align with God's will, that's when amazing things happen. That's when lives get transformed. That's when we discover the power of God and that joy that comes from God. What goals do you have? Then the third thing to shake up our faith is you need a plan. You need a plan. How will I reach these goals? What steps do I need to take? You need to think about it. You need to strategize. You need to study. You need to learn. You need to talk with others about your strategy. You need to pray about your dreams and your goals. See, God will use you just the way you are. You don't have to go learn something new. You just have to dream, set goals, and then make a plan. You don't have to learn anything new. You know, when when Operation Care Food Bank a few years ago was struggling, they lost some financing. They weren't sure if they're going to stay open. And I was talking with them because I was taking food that that we collect for them. And I saw the need and I said, you know, I can help you. I can help you fix this. And so I didn't go out and learn something new. I didn't go take a class on how to run a food bank. I just relied on my CPA experience, my tax experience. And I said, well, first of all, let's get you a tax-exempt number so you can be independent of the church that they're in. Let's sign you up for the Arizona tax credit. You know, all these things that I know how to do, I didn't have to learn anything. I just had to be bold, stand up and say, can I help you? Can I help you? And so then I brought this church in because we give 1% of everything we collect at church. We give it to that food bank. So we provide half of their funding, and so they're healthy today. Because I was willing to step up and say, can I help you? I want to use what God has given me. That's how you accomplish those goals. You use the way you are right now. You don't have to clean up your life. You don't have to make yourself perfect. You don't have to learn anything new. God will use you the way you are. Proverbs 16:9. In his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. See, we need to plan, but we need to let God guide us. If my plan is fulfilled, it will bring glory to God. Our faith will grow stronger and deeper when we set godly goals and follow the plan. So we need to dream. We need to set goals. We need to plan. And you know, this church, myself, we want to help you. If you're struggling with something, you're a hurt, a habit, or hang up, you can't shake it, you need help, you come see me. I'll help you, or I'll put you with a brother or sister in Christ who can help you, or we'll get you help. But we need one more thing. That is number 3. It takes power to get things done. We got to be bold, and boldness takes power. When you read in the scripture about Timothy, Paul's disciple, when you read about Timothy in God's word, you realize that he was young and he was shy. He was timid. He was not like the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was bold, fearless, and passionate. Timothy was shy. Timothy was shy and timid. But yet Paul chose him to be one of his disciplees. And he thrust him into the ministry. He uses that same training method that I use, sink or swim. Sink or swim. Throw you in the water, start swimming, you're going to sink. You know, it's just hands-on experience. So Paul wrote him 2 letters, 1 and 2 Timothy, to encourage him. So let's look at 1 Timothy 1:3. There's some things I want to point out in this passage as we go through it. I think of Timothy as being a church kid. You know what a church kid is? It's like our young people over here. They grew up in church, right? You grew up in church, you came with your kids, you trusted in Christ, you came with your parents, I mean not with your kids. We hope you didn't come with your kids. You came with your parents, you know, the church kid. Timothy is a church kid. Paul writing about Timothy, I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Paul is preaching. Paul is praying every day for Timothy that he'd realize his purpose. He was a pastor at this point. He was probably heading the church in Ephesus. Verse 4, recalling your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. They were separate. They didn't instant message and text each other. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. So Timothy's mother and grandmother taught him God's word. They instilled, they were examples of women of faith, and he had that faith too. Verse 6, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God. For this reason, because I pray for you, because you've been taught God's word, I want you to fan into flame your gift from God. God gave you a gift which is in you through the laying on of hands. We laid on hands on them to encourage him and accept his calling into the ministry. And then verse, this is our key verse. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. What kind of power do we need? The power of the Spirit of love and self-discipline. Timothy was taught the word of God. He was taught by his mother and grandmother. They were his examples. People laid hands on him and encouraged him. God had given him gifts. Now he needs to be bold. Don't be timid. Be bold. Turn on the power of God. And I love that phrase. We need a fan. We need to fan into flame the gift of God. How many of you have ever seen a campfire? How many of you actually lit a campfire? Man, we need to take some of you out and start a campfire. You know, when you light a campfire, and after a while it burns brightly, and then it starts to die down, all you see are embers. Well, how do you get it started again? You give it some oxygen. You fan it. It needs oxygen to burn. It needs fuel also, but it needs oxygen. So you gently blow in it to feed it oxygen to start a fire. Now look at this picture. You see this picture on the top, burning bright. Picture on the bottom, just smoldering embers. Have you ever heard the phrase, you've seen a guy at church or a woman serving the Lord, and they are passionate about the Lord. They want to serve. They want to teach. They want to do anything for God. And you say what? Man, he's on fire. You know, he's on fire for Jesus because they have fanned the flames. I think the flame is the Holy Spirit. They have fanned the Holy Spirit with faith. Their faith is feeding the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is feeding them, and they are alive. They are on fire. But some of you are not on fire. As your pastor, I have observed that some of you are not on fire for the Lord. The Holy Spirit is kind of like this, just a barely an ember left. That means the Holy Spirit is in you. You are saved. You are a Christian. But it's just smoldering deep in your soul. God says, fan those flames. Fan the Holy Spirit that's in you with faith. Ignite it into fire. Become bold. Keep it burning. We fan it with our faith. We turn on the power of God and take steps of faithful obedience. We need to be bold. We need power. The first power, it says, is the power of the Holy Spirit. Go to our next slide. The power, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. That gives us our direction. We receive the Holy Spirit when we become Christians. The Holy Spirit is in us if we are in Christ. But we need to turn on the power of the Holy Spirit, which means we need to let the Spirit have control of us. We need to let the Holy Spirit drive us. Look at these two verses. It explains how it works. John 14:25. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. I will teach you, remind you of what my words were. And then John 16:13. But when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you in all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. The Holy Spirit gives us direction. Look at those underlined words. The Holy Spirit will teach you, remind you, and guide you of what? Of what you have learned in God's Word. That's why we study God's Word. The Holy Spirit uses God's Word to guide you. If you don't have God's Word in you, if you're not reading the Bible all the time, you don't know it, meditate on it, there's not much to guide you with. See, it's not just wishful thinking. Well, I wish I could be a better Christian, or I wish I could kick this habit. No, it is Holy Spirit convicting you and pointing to you. This is what you need to do. This is what you need to give up. It is very intentional. The Spirit might speak to us. I talked to before about the divine whisper, a clear word from God. He may speak through a divine whisper. I told you I shared three times when I heard the divine whisper. Maybe the Holy Spirit would just speak to you when you read God's Word. I mean, it speaks to me all the time. 2 months ago, I read today's focal passage, 2 Timothy 1:7, about, you know, that we're studying today. I read it 2 months ago when I wrote the sermon based on that sermon, on that one verse. I read it in a devotional. It spoke to me. I'm preaching it today. Sometimes the Spirit is like a gentle breeze behind us, just pushing us in a direction. Maybe we see someone that's on our prayer list, and we know, man, that person's on my prayer list. I need to go talk to them. Or maybe we see a need, and the Spirit moves us with compassion. When we are filled with the Spirit will enlighten us, enable us, and empower us to go and do what needs to be done. So I ask you today, can you feel the Holy Spirit pushing you along? Where is the Spirit going to lead you this year? Maybe you will finally say no to that sinful behavior. Or maybe you'll finally say, yes, God, here I am, send me. The Holy Spirit is our direction. The next we see is the power of love. Love is our motivation. You know, how many of you watch those police shows, you know, detective shows, and you try to figure out who did it? You know, there's one show, I can't remember what it's called now. Every time I watch it, I can figure out who did it. It doesn't fail, but some shows I can't. But you know, when detectives are trying to solve a murder case, they are always looking for someone with at least two things. One, the opportunity. They have no alibi. And the motive. You know, what's their motive? Was it anger or jealousy or greed? What caused them to do such a horrible things? And what is our motive? Our motive is love. And love gives us power. We need to be moved. You know, I've been a pastor here for many years. I can't remember now, 16, 17 years. I lost count. And I've studied the biggest churches. I read books on how to have successful churches and this and that. And so I know the plans and programs. But I've discovered at this church sometimes, when I present something, a program or a strategy, I get met with apathy and indifference. It's just people. Kind of like how I feel when my wife asks me, do you want to go shopping? Not really. You know, hey, you want to join this ministry? Maybe not. So I have learned instead, I mean, don't get me wrong, we still have programs and ministries, but I like to wait now till you tell me what you want to do. You know, I want to do this, I want to do that. You know, I want to go on a mission trip here, I want to start a mission trip there. You know, I want to do the Asian Festival, or a new thing from last year. People come up with these ideas. Someone said recently, I want to start a new small group. You know, I want to start a ping pong ministry. I want to do this or that. They come up with ideas, and I'm like, go for it. You know, passionate people are motivated to get things done. We don't move unless we are motivated to move. Nothing motivates us more than love. Just think about how much time and energy you spend on your kids. You know, why do you do it? I mean, it's not like they're going to pay you back. You know, it's not like they're going to take care of you when you're old. Are they? I don't know. We hope so. But you do it because you love them. You're motivated by love. Yesterday we had a seminar that Jeannie led on posture, and there's this little baby there. He was just the cutest little baby. I'm like, man, I'd do anything for that little kid. Just so cute, so lovable. You do it out of love. 2 Corinthians 5:14. For Christ's love compels us. If we love Christ, we will be compelled to act because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. And he died for all, and those who live shall no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. If we love Christ, we will be compelled to serve. We'll start living for Jesus and not just ourselves. Our love energizes our faith. It creates joy and keeps us going even though things are tough. Our love carries us through. Then John 15:12, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. How can we give up so much of ourselves to help other people? How can we sacrifice time, energy, and comfort? Well, only by the power of love. So we need to love. We need to let love, God's love, flow through us so that we're willing to help people we don't normally want to help. So I ask you this, what person does God want you to love this year? Maybe you got a family member that you need to forgive. You need to show mercy to. You need to let go. Maybe you know someone at school that's hurting, that sits by himself or herself all the time. Maybe you want to be, God's saying, go love them and be their friend. Maybe you know that one person we talked about last week who needs to hear the gospel, the plan of salvation, and you're going to say, I'm going to love that person, take him out to lunch. So we need Holy Spirit power. We need the power of love. Thirdly, we need power of self-discipline. I mean, we got to put some effort in. We need to move with conviction. We need to believe and be disciplined enough to act and be bold with conviction. We pray, I like this phrase at the bottom, we pray like everything depends on God, but we work like everything depends on us. God's not going to do all the work. God's not going to deliver you instantly from the problems you created. God will guide you out of those problems you created. We need to do our part. We need to get moving. We need to be bold. We need to exercise self-discipline. You tell your body, your mind, and your soul how to think, act, and feel. You stop letting it beat you up. 1 Corinthians 9:24 is the best passage on self-discipline. Do you not know that in a race, all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. That's a person, that's a Christian in training, disciplining themselves to be useful to God. You note the words. Note the words in this passage. I run to win. I go into strict training. It's very intentional. And the problem with many of you, you don't get things done because you're not intentional. You don't dream. You don't have goals. You don't have a plan. So if you aim at nothing, you hit it every time. We're not running aimlessly. If you run aimlessly, you accomplish nothing. So we must be intentional. You don't fight like a man beating the air. We need to have, when we fight, when we serve God, there will be resistance. And we push back against it. It makes us stronger. Stop fighting meaningless battles. Stop worrying about carpet colors or the carpet, the paint on the church or ministries. We want to serve God and show people the way. Self-discipline is saying no to many things in life. How do we do that? Paul says, I beat my body. That means he works it hard. He makes it sweat. And he makes his body his slave. You bring your body under control. You don't let your feelings, desires, your addictions tell you what to do. You start telling them what you want them to do. You can with power. Self-discipline is taking steps to strengthen your faith. You know, you feel that God wants you to witness to someone. You want to be available to share the gospel with someone. You memorize scripture. You memorize John 3:16 and Romans 6:23. You memorize your testimony. You practice self-discipline. You get ready. We put in the time and the work. We become instruments of righteousness, so we are ready when God gives us an opportunity. I've discovered that anytime I counsel someone, all I do is refer to the sermon I just preached. You know, when I talk to someone about God, well, you know, I just talked about blah, 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 it's just because we have God's word in our head. When you're talking with someone this week and they're telling you your problems, you tell them you need to be bold. You need to be bold. You want to solve your problems, you be bold. It begins with your relationship with God. All the wishful thinking in the world accomplishes nothing. But when we follow the Spirit's direction, when we listen to the Spirit, when our hearts are filled with God's love, when we walk with conviction, that's when miracles happen. That's when lives are transformed. So look at these two questions, and you can write them down, one or the other. What obstacle or curse do you want to get rid of in 2020? What of that thing that just you hate? You know, I didn't realize how many people are bitter towards family members until I started talking to people. Oh, I haven't talked to my brother in 10 years, or, you know, I don't talk to my parents anymore. What obstacle or curse do you want to get rid of in 2020? Bitterness like that keeps you from God. So maybe you have something like that. Or what opportunity or challenge do you want to embrace in 2020? What do you want to embrace? You know, I'm excited this year. This is an interesting year. Not only are we inviting people to be picking a new deacons to join our current deacon group, which is very exciting for me, but we have five. We should have five people in seminary this year. Okay? These are people who decided that they want to step up their game. They want to be bold. And I thought, wow, that's really something. And I look, you know, we don't just look at numbers, but man, that's exciting. What opportunity or challenge do you want to embrace in 2020? Write it down on your piece of paper, or this week pray about it. Maybe it's an obstacle and an opportunity. Will you ask God for boldness in 2020? God's power, that Holy Spirit power, is only available to those who have trusted in Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Lord. If you're here today and you've been struggling, you can't get by certain things, maybe it's because you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. As we read in the Bible that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and rose from the dead so that He can forgive us of our sins, so that He can make us holy and righteous before God, so that He can give us eternal life. Eternal life begins now when we trust in Jesus as our Savior and our Lord. You come as you are. I was talking with someone not too long ago, and they felt that they couldn't be a Christian because they couldn't break an addiction. They couldn't break an addiction. They were still struggling with addiction, and they said, I can't become a Christian. I said, no. God will take you the way you are, and then God will help you. Trust in Christ as your Savior and Lord. God will help you break that addiction. Is it time to trust in Jesus as your Savior and Lord? Is it time to be bold? As we go into our quiet time, our invitation time, I want you to tell God what obstacle you want to get rid of and or what opportunity you want to embrace. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You want us to be bold. You gave us the Holy Spirit so that we could be bold. You gave us Your love so that we could be bold. You gave us the promises in Your Word so we could be bold. You gave us the ability to choose so that we could be bold. Father, is there someone here today who's hurting, who needs strength, who needs power, who needs brothers and sisters in Christ to overcome their suffering? Or Father, is there someone here today that You're calling to step up in their faith, to grow stronger and deeper, to serve You? I pray that they know clearly that You are pushing them, the Holy Spirit's touching them. We want to help them become the person You want them to be. Father, we know that You loved us so much that You sent Your Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins and to rise from the dead, to give us power to change, power through Your love to become children of God. So we ask that You bless those and call those who need to make this decision today to believe in You. We thank You, Lord. We worship You in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to stand and sing our invitation song. You're ready to share what God is calling you to do, what change He wants you to make. Come forward and I'll be happy to pray with you. Let's stand as we sing.